I've just come from a festival that takes place every year in New Vrindavan, and it's the Festival of Inspiration. And the occasion is held every year at Mother's Day weekend. So today is Mother's Day. So this is an American tradition, but we're in America. And I wanted to speak something about honoring one's mother. How Srila Prabhupada has taught us that principle, and Krishna by his own example and his lila, how he honored Mother Yashoda and Mother Sachi, how she was honored by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, how to honor one's mother. And I'd like to begin by honoring all the mothers in the temple room. Murari Chaitanya shared with me when he picked me up from the airport that he brought or purchased flowers for all the mothers on Mother's Day. Those who don't have children count as mothers also, because that's how Prabhupada trained us. So we're following Srila Prabhupada's footsteps, trying. One mother with her child. If that crying child can find another place besides the temple room to cry, that would be very nice. Shruti, there's some mothers right up here in the front row. Very good. There we go. These two nice ladies here. Yes. Happy Mother's Day, I appreciate it. Srila Prabhupada taught us from the scriptures, there may be some ladies downstairs too. Whose child is this? He's looking for his mother. Oh. Okay. When Srila Prabhupada would speak about training young boys, he said three things very consistently. One of them was what's important in training. Academics, okay, but most important is training of character. So again and again in various ways he explained about how important is developing character. And Prabhupada taught about proprietorship. How a child would, from the early age of school, in the care of the teacher, over and over. I've heard this over a hundred times. The child would be placed in the care of his teacher, and the teacher would engage the student in going door to door to request alms for the teacher. The purpose was training. The training was when the child would bring back the alms, it was the property of the teacher. And then the teacher would give to his wife, and the wife would prepare some offering for Krishna. The teacher would call the students to come and have their meal. Only when called by the teacher, they would come and have their meal. And Prabhupada would say this over and over. And if he would not call the students for their meal, they would fast. He didn't explain more than that, he just said that hundreds of times. But the lesson is, when the children grow up, they've understood the principle. Their activity, the fruit of their activity is not theirs. The fruit of their activity belongs to their teacher, and their teacher offers to Krishna, so that when they're adults, this very strong force called attachment to the fruits of work is no longer a part of their mindset. It's everything belongs to Krishna. So now I'm grown up and I have a job and I go to work and I give everything to Krishna. And Krishna takes care of me. He calls me to have my meal and I have my meals. But everything belongs to Krishna. Then another training was when going door to door, the child was trained to address everyone as mother. And so Mata or Mataji was the training. So that when he grew up, everyone was Mata. Everyone, this isn't going to work. This child that's crying needs to go somewhere. Thank you very much. When the child grows up, then other than wife, everyone is mother. And what is the training for mother? Not just mother is the source of grains who you go and ask something from, but mother is one who you respect. And that's the topic of this morning, or this evening, is respecting of mother. It's a sub-religious principle, or religious principle. It's not the topmost religious principle, that's love of God. But one who has love of God understands, or when love of God is awakened, then this quality of respect for the energy of God is also there. Because according to Vedic teaching, there's seven mothers. One of those seven mothers is Mother Nature, or certainly one's own biological mother, but the mother of the teacher, and but it's going to be the wife of the teacher and the wife of the king. There's so many mothers, and one should respect, and whether that respect is broken or the quality is missing, then how can there be love of God? How can that come from one's heart without that proper position of respect? So Krishna showed respect to Mother Jasoda. But this is, we'll start transcendental, then we'll come back down to our position. Not necessarily so transcendental, but striving for transcendental. Even when Krishna would apparently act towards someone where he would chastise, like he chastised the Kaliya serpent. But while chastising the Kaliya serpent, he was actually liberating Kaliya from his envious disposition, so that when he was finished, the wives of the Kaliya serpent understood. Even the goddess of fortune, who is massaging the feet of the personality of Godhead, can't even imagine placing the feet of Lord Narayan upon her head. But our husband, this most wicked person, they understood the nature of their husband. Such bad disposition. Krishna has placed his feet upon Kaliya's head and purified him. How merciful. It took a number of Krishna very strongly, not just pushing down the hoods of the Kaliya serpent when he would raise his hoods to bite Krishna. Krishna pounce upon his head and smash his hoods, relieving him of his envious disposition and bringing him to a position of pure love for Krishna. So even when chastising, Krishna is showing kindness. But for those who are his devotees, his love for his devotees is to preserve and support their love for him. And in the case of Mother Jasoda, Mother Jasoda's love is the most exalted of parental affection. Prabhupada has taught us it's not that Mother Jasoda is a post, like Lord Brahma is a post. And different persons take the post of Lord Brahma, different persons take the post of Lord Indra, different persons take the post of the various devas. But in the spiritual world, there is one Mother Jasoda eternally. Others can serve and assist in the mood of Mother Jasoda, in a stage of spiritual ecstasy. But she's in a category by herself. She's not just a living entity who has become perfect or is eternally perfect. She's in the category of Shakti Tattva. She's the Lord's own potency, his own Shakti. And as his own Shakti, she's serving Krishna, giving pleasure to Krishna in the mood of the mother of Krishna. And Krishna supports that mood of Mother Jasoda's love. In the very beginning part of Krishna's pastimes, in his childhood pastimes, when he was hardly able to walk, he and Balaram would go toddling through the pasture grounds and see the calves in the pasture grounds and pull on the tail of the calves. And as they would pull on the tail of the calves were startled and they began to run this way and that way, and Krishna and Balaram would hold on to the tails of the calves being dragged to the dust and sending dust in all directions, and the cowherd women saw Krishna going this way and that way in the pasturing ground, and Balaram, and they were having great fun. In Mother Jasoda's house, Shukadeva Goswami describes, she had thousands of different kinds of sweets and curd and milk. Mother Jasoda was so expert that she knew which kind of grass with which cow would produce which flavor milk. And so she made all these special arrangements so that Krishna would be very, very pleased. But even Krishna had, Nanda Maharaj had 900,000 cows. There was no shortage of milk products in Nanda Maharaj's care. But Krishna would go to, with his other cowherd boyfriends, they would toddle over to the other homes, and just at milking time, they would release all the calves, untie the rope It was tying up the calves. So the calves would run to their mothers and drink all the milk. And so all the parents would come running out of their homes. Oh no, it's milking time. The calves are drinking the milk. So they could go inside the storerooms when no one was watching and steal butter and milk and yogurt. And various ways he would contrive how he could steal butter, milk, and yogurt. And sometimes he would be caught in the act. And they would hold Krishna by the shoulder and say, "What are you doing? You're stealing." And Krishna would look at them straight in the eye and say, "I'm not stealing. You're the thief." And smile. And Krishna's smile was so charming, they would just smile back at Krishna. When they got a little bit older and they could walk, the cowherdsmen understood they had to not just put the milk and yogurt on the floor in the storeroom, they had to hang it from the rafters so little Krishna couldn't reach. So they would put a pot on top of another pot and a plank so he could stand on top and reach the butter and tilt it so they could pour it in one of the cowherd boys' mouths and take turns drinking the butter and the milk and the yogurt. And sometimes they would take a stick and break the pot and everything would fall to the ground and they would eat everything and the monkeys would come and they would feed the monkeys until the monkeys couldn't eat any more. And then the cowherd men would come in and see all this butter and yogurt all over the floor and chastise Krishna. And Krishna would say, "This yogurt is so bad, even the monkeys won't eat it." Because they were full. Then the cowherd men or the cowherd women would bring Krishna before Mother Jasoda or Nanda Maharaj and chastise. "You should discipline your boy. He's terrible. He's such a thief. He's always coming and stealing from our storerooms." And Krishna, sometimes he would behave like he was going to cry. Sometimes he just smiled. But whatever Krishna did, his charm was the enchantment of the hearts of all the Brijvasis, and they simply forgot and were enjoying the presence of Krishna. So at this mood and at this age, this is how Shukadeva Goswami describes. One day, in a remote place, the cowherd boys were playing, and Mother Jasoda came to bring the cowherd boys for their lunch. And Balaram and the other cowherd boys told Mother Jasoda, this is at Brahmandagat. Some of you have been there in Vrindavan, right by the side of the river Jamuna, so picture the place in your mind. And they pointed their finger at Krishna. "Mother Jasoda, Krishna has eaten dirt." Now Krishna did so many naughty things, and Mother Jasoda never punished Krishna. She just smiled and tried to make nicer yogurt and nicer butter and nicer arrangements so Krishna wouldn't steal. Just increased her maternal affection. But in this case, eating butter, yogurt, and milk is fine for a little boy, but eating dirt is not fine. One can get sick. So this pastime, all arranged by Krishna, encouraged Mother Jasoda to speak very strongly and chastise Krishna. Krishna's getting his first scolding. "Your friends say that you have eaten dirt. Even your brother Balaram, who is dearmost to you, he also is confirming you've eaten dirt. Why are you going to a solitary place and doing this?" What did Krishna say? "Mother, they're liars. They're not telling you the truth. Believe me, I'm speaking the truth to you. I have not eaten dirt. Mother Jasoda's maternal affection was so strong that she couldn't accept Krishna's word. And so then she asked Krishna, if you haven't eaten dirt, then you show me inside your mouth. Open your mouth. You know the Leela. So now let me read what Shukadeva Goswami says. If you have not eaten earth, then open your mouth wide. When challenged by his mother in this way, Krishna, the son of Nanda Maharaj and Yashoda, to exhibit pastimes like a human child, opened his mouth. Although the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, who is full of all opulences, did not disturb his mother's parental affection, his opulence was automatically displayed. For Krishna's opulence is never lost at any stage, but is manifest at the proper time. In the purport, Prabhupada explains that Krishna was obedient to his mother. He was honoring his mother, although Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, it's not described here, but in his commentary he says that the feature of Krishna's opulence in Braja is the opulence of intimacy, of love. And that opulence of intimacy of love is so strong that the other form of Krishna's opulence is overwhelmed. But now in this situation, so Krishna is just supporting his, with his, the fullness of his opulence, the love of his devotee. But now Krishna is being, in the parental mood, he's being called to task for some wrongdoing. And he's afraid. And so the opulence of Krishna takes another feature. It comes to the foreground to show the unlimitedness of his potencies. So without even blinking an eye, without making any special arrangement, just as Krishna opens his mouth, and he's not just a small boy, and he didn't enlarge, like Vamana enlarged his body very, very big, or Matsya enlarged his body very, very big. Krishna just kept it small because he didn't want to disturb the parental affection of Mother Jasoda. Very small, childlike form, and opened his mouth. And inside his mouth, what did Mother Jasoda see? The entire cosmic manifestation. Everything. Just like Arjuna saw standing before on the battlefield, and saw how overwhelmed did Arjuna become. Mother Jasoda saw all the planets, all the stars, all the mountains, all the rivers, all the trees, all forms of life, the demigods, the whole cosmic manifestation, all at once, inside Krishna's little mouth. This is disturbing, even for an ordinary person, what to speak of Mother Jasoda, because she has this indomitable parental affection. Krishna is my son. So she began to consider, am I dreaming? And then she reasoned, no, I'm not dreaming because my eyes are open. I'm not dreaming. Maybe this is an act of Devi Maya. The demigods are making some kind of special arrangement here. And then she thought, no, How would that be? I'm no special person. I'm this insignificant woman, cowherd, village person. Why would the demigods come and do something in relation to me? That can't be it. Maybe I'm just mad. But no, I have normal faculties of reason, and I can think things through and see things and understand things. What is this? Then she considered Garga Muni. He described to Nanda that our son would have some very special powers, powers like that of Lord Narayan. This was disturbing the affection of Mother Yasoda to her small child, the motherly affection. So Krishna then released another one of his potencies, his primary Yogamaya potency, to again cover Mother Yasoda. So she would just literally forget what she saw and think, Krishna must be hungry. Let me feed him. I'll put all of this, whatever happened, out of my mind, who knows, but I must take care of my child. So, Prabhupada writes in his purport, without disturbing the ecstasy of his mother's affection, Krishna opened his mouth and displayed his own natural opulences. Krishna was full of opulences. Now, by the order of his mother, Yasoda, he opened wide his mouth like a human child and did not neglect the transcendental humor of maternal affection. He's the personality of Godhead, and he's showing us, respecting this mood of motherhood, of Mother Yasoda. She reasons, actually, I'm thinking of myself as the queen of Vrindavan. My husband, Nanda Maharaj, he's the king of the cowherds. And I'm his wife, so naturally I'm the queen. I'm thinking like that, but actually, my real identity is, I'm simply the servant of Lord Narayan. I'm the servant of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and so let me offer my prayers to Lord Narayan that he kindly protect my child. She became Krishna conscious. But the higher affection of transcendental love for Krishna from Vatsalya position was manifested by Mother Yasoda. Similarly, Mother Sachi was the mother of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And when Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, by his transcendental lila, decided to accept sannyas, as a very young man at 24, he left home in order to accept the renounced order of life, and his plan was to go to Vrindavan. But by the tricks of Nityananda, instead of going to Vrindavan, he was directed to Shantipur. So that one more time all the residents of Navadvip could associate with Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to their heart's content. Included was Mother Sachi. And when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu saw Mother Sachi, he fell at her feet and began crying and crying and crying. He was crying. Why have I done this? I must have been mad. But what can I do? You're my mother. How can I leave you? You have no one to protect you. But now I've taken this vow of sannyas. So in her motherhood, she said, What's done cannot be reversed. Once having taken sannyas, you can't remain at home. That would not be right. But I know that you want to go to Vrindavan because you want to be with Krishna. But please consider, in Jagannath Puri is the same Krishna. And our residents of Navadvipa, they regularly go to Puri. And when they go to Puri, I can get word of your well-being. And maybe sometime you will come, as the residents of Puri will come to take bath in the Ganga. And then I'll have again the chance to see you. But if you go to Vrindavan, likely I'll never see you again. Or perhaps not even hear of you again. Just by the indication of Mother Sachi, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu changed his plan, showing the honoring of the indication of his transcendental mother. And Lord Ram, Lord Ram, when Bharat came into the Chitrakoot hill after finding out what Kaikeyi had done, I reject you as my mother. I was born from you, but this activity that you have just done is so abominable. I reject you as my mother. I'm going to the forest and bringing Ram back so he can become the king. Never will I accept this plan of yours. So his anger towards Kaikeyi was very strong. And he presented the same to Ram when he came before Ram, and Ram corrected him and instructed him. Forgive your mother. What's most important is that we follow the instruction of our father. Our father has given two instructions. You become king, and I should go to the forest for 14 years. How do we do anything other than honoring? What greater thing can there be for us in life than upholding the indications of our father? And as far as Kaikeyi is concerned, she is going to need your protection and your shelter. So give up these bad feelings toward Kaikeyi. Forgive her and show her affection. Show her your affection. This was Ram's instruction. As he also showed to Kaikeyi when he left, and when again he returned, he didn't hold any animosity towards Kaikeyi for her wrongdoing and all the difficulty that came as a result. Of course, it was his transcendental lila, but it's instructive of his instruction. Practically speaking, if there's some bad instruction that comes from someone who's in these seven mothers categories, we need not necessarily follow those instructions, but we should honor in a transcendental way. We should honor the position of mother. Very, very important in advancing in virtue and advancing in transcendental life. Through Srila Prabhupada's example, he taught that his sister, who had so much affection for him, that she treated her brother like guru. But at the same time, she had the mood as well of a sister. Who was sharing this with me? Kaladri. I was just in New Vrindavan. Kaladri was sharing this little exchange that he had. For some time, Kwadi was a very good cook. But his sister, Pashima, she liked to make kachoris and samosas for Prabhupada, but she had this practice of cooking in mustard oil. And Prabhupada couldn't digest the kachoris cooked in mustard oil. So he was always making different arrangements so that he wouldn't have to take her kachoris cooked in mustard oil. And she had this determination. She wanted to serve her brother kachoris cooked in mustard oil. So those that were his Prabhupada's servant had to learn the art of how to say no without saying no. How to not bring the kachoris. So he said he had to fill in for Shruti Kirti one time when Shruti Kirti was sick. He was either in Vrindavan or Mayapur. So Prabhupada gave the assignment to Kaladri to cook. Yeah, there were some guests coming, and Kaladri, anyway, long story, stayed up all night making very nice prasadam for some guests that were coming, and Prabhupada was so much appreciative of the nice prasadam that he made that he told Palika, get this recipe from Kaladri, it's very good. So he engaged him in cooking. Then Pashima came, who wanted, put this on Prabhupada's plate and don't tell him it came from me. Because otherwise he might not eat it, because it's cooked in mustard oil. Go ahead. He actually likes them. Go ahead. So he couldn't say no, but he couldn't do it either. He didn't want to lie. It was a very awkward position, so he described the detail of it. So through that relationship with his sister, Prabhupada taught that we should treat his sister like mother. And we should treat all women like mother. But then the other instruction was that women should behave like mothers, not like, using Prabhupada's words, prospective wife. They should behave as mothers will behave to their small children. And when that kind of relationship is there, it's very nice. And if that relationship is not upheld and supported from both sides, then it can be a social problem and can lead to a spiritual problem. So, one other point, the seeing the earth, Mother Earth, as one of our mothers. Some of you know, I've been this spring semester in colleges around North America, I've been speaking on the topic of, what the title of the topic is, spiritual economics. Those are contradictions. Economics is material and spiritual is not material. But spiritual economics, meaning are consuming things or producing and consuming things driven by the principle of spiritual realization or awakening of our God consciousness and choosing to do those things which are necessary for our needs, for sustaining ourselves, driven by the principle of spiritual realization or self-realization. And one of the compelling reasons why it's not just optional but necessary is the downside of what's happening environmentally from not respecting Mother Earth. And maybe 10 minutes or so of the presentation is example after example after example of environmental disaster that's happening because of consumer economics, where there's no consideration of Earth other than a source of resources, raw materials to take from the Earth, And I'll just share this with you. You probably know this, but in case you're not tuned in, it's one of the hottest topics in the world, one of the hottest topics in America. Peter Burwash, who was one of the presenters at this Festival of Inspiration, showed me the cover of 2 weeks ago Time magazine, where the border around Time magazine for so many years has been red, but for this issue it was green. You know, the importance of green economics, green production, green consumption, green. I was 3 days ago in Los Angeles for some meetings, and they had in the bathroom where I was staying one of those little, you know, liquid soap things, and you know, the advertisement on the jar, the glass cover, was every drop is green. It wasn't green. It was, you know, some clear liquid. Every drop is green. I'm learning a lot just by presenting, because people are, the government has this whole, just like there's certifying something organic, the government now certifies a product as green. And there's like thresholds of where you draw the materials for production, how you dispose of things that are waste, what goes into preservatives, what's in the container for packaging. Green or not green. So it's what's healthy for the economy, excuse me, for the environment is now like, it's a very big topic. In the world today. But the religious principle, or to speak of spiritual principle, the religious principle is honor Mother Nature. In some parts of the world, in Sweden and Norway, where there's lots of forests, they do forestation. They have a law: for every tree you cut down, you must plant 2 trees. I met somebody in Los Angeles when I was speaking on this topic, and they said there's an organization that somebody they know runs, and you give them something like $10 and they'll plant 10 trees. For every tree cut down, 10 trees. But it's, the point I'm making is it's very much on the consciousness and the mind of people, because resources are depleting fast. But the principle is not just, you know, save your own skin, make yourself feel comfortable. The principle is honor your mother. And if people can't protect the cow, another one of the mothers, and they can't protect the earth and honor the earth, how do they expect having a peaceful society? Then, you know, all of the other principles that can bring complete disturbance to society, the violation of another man's wife, or whether another man's wife or another woman by man, and you know, it's so much violence, so much completely uncontrolled violence. And then that's what's in the media, and it's, you know, the whole atmosphere that we're in is other than this principle that we're speaking about. So that's why I chose, although it's not, Mother's Day is not, you know, Hare Krishna holiday on our calendar, it's not a Vaishnav observance, but it's certainly a Vaishnava principle, and so it's a nice time to awaken or invoke that very important principle of honoring honoring Mother. And last but not least of all is Srimati Radharani. Through the mercy of Srimati Radharani, she's not the mother of Krishna, but she is our spiritual mother, because by the mercy of Srimati Radharani, one can have the opportunity for devotional service. we don't just worship Krishna. We worship Krishna, but we worship Radha Krishna because of the merciful nature of Srimati Radharani. So these are just some of the ways that one can be encouraged and mindful of honoring Mother on Mother's Day. So, happy Mother's Day to all of you. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.